Hey there, Energy Matters listeners. Welcome back. David and I are here. It's been a little while, and we are in 2022. Hope you had a great transition into this new year. We are excited to get back with you all and to share some really great news. David is back into 2022 and has a new book. David now is sharing his book with the world, and it is called The Seven Energies of the Soul, and we're here to talk about that today and also just catch you up with where we've been and what we've been up to. We've had a pretty exciting 2021. It's lots of teaching and traveling and exploring, and we're ready to kind of share what's been going on with you. So welcome, David. Great to have you here. And how have you been?
I'm awesome. Since we did our last episode, you moved to Oregon. Cody's out in the countryside. Right. He's got a wine vineyard and some land out there. And he's just waiting on his porch with a shotgun, making sure nobody is coming near his house or the big basement full of gold that he's been hoarding and protecting. So I will put his address in the show notes. Anyway, it's great to be in 2022. Yeah, I got the book.
Just to make the record clear, that is so not.
All right,
so not the picture to paint for me.
All right. I made most of that up other than he moved to Oregon and he does have a wine. You do have a wine vineyard.
So a little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
On that note, yeah, I do have a book coming out. It's coming out 2/22/22, February 22nd, 2022, Seven Energies of the Soul. We're doing it with Hierophant Publishing, and who you've met, Randy, the owner of that publishing company. Yeah. So me and Cody went to an event together this summer with Don Miguel Ruiz and some other great teachers. We interviewed Heather Ashimara, the warrior goddess, in a back room during the retreat. It was called the Gathering of the Shamans. That was fun.
Yes. It was a really great retreat, and it was a great time in Sedona. A little warm retreat in July and in Sedona, in the desert.
It was hot as hell. It was insane. It was like 100 and gazillion degrees.
Yes.
That the book was already written then, but it was getting edited and now it's done. I just finished recording the audiobook and it's all coming out soon.
That was really your first public appearance about the book, right? Because when we were there, you got to close the whole retreat by doing a meditation and kind of announcing your book. You got announced as an author. So that was like very exciting. It was really pretty cool to talk to Heather Ash as well. That was a really great episode, I thought. I guess that was our last episode that we released.
Yeah, it was pretty wild because Don Miguel Ruiz kind of got up on stage, spoke, and then he said it was going to be his last time teaching. And then I got to close the retreat with a little meditation. So I felt very honored to be part of that energy.
Yeah.
With that lovely group.
That was pretty special. We got the old guy going out and the young guy coming in right there.
Yeah. We're pretty much on the same level, right?
Yeah. So that's the way it works though, isn't it?
I'm going to let the mushrooms wear off. Yeah. We're on the same, like, dude, bro. It's like same.
Yeah.
That was fun. Then I did another event with them in Santa Fe called the Gathering of the Creatives with Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way. And that was really cool too. Nice group of people there. So why don't we talk about the book and maybe we can get your insights into each energy of the soul and some of mine and just see where it goes. Maybe pop some treasures out.
Read the book, just full disclosure. I haven't even seen the book. David didn't send me an advanced copy. I don't know if advanced copies are even out.
Almost. They're about to be out. Yeah. Okay. So let me describe the seven energies very briefly, and then we could jump into each one. I think you'll have a lot of insight into all of them as well, since me and you've been teaching together for many years. I don't think there are too many mysteries for you on these, but basically what I did was I took the most common questions and issues my students have had over the years, or quote unquote problems. And I kind of flip them, I would say, right side up to, instead of everything being a problem, what is it that you're trying to heal or create you know, manifest, bring into the world. So when someone's like, hey, I have an issue with my business, I turn that around to being the creator energy. When someone says, I'm stuck on a lot of pain, I turn that into the healer energy. Mm. When someone's like, David, I have no discipline around my meditation practice or my physical fitness, I turn that into the warrior energy. And then the lover energy, the artist energy, the explorer energy, and the master energy. And in each energy, the energies can be in deficiency or in excess, or obviously in balance. And we're going for balance. So an excessive warrior might be somebody who just exercises all the time. They're almost obsessive about their physical exercise and their physical well-being to the point where it's no longer healthy. Or a deficient warrior might be someone that never exercises and is in apathy, or they don't have any discipline around their meditation practice or their workspace. Or, for example, a lover who is in excess. Maybe they're constantly giving, and never receiving. Or if they're in deficiency, maybe they have boundaries around their heart and they don't let them experience, they don't let themselves experience love. So each of these energies, right, we can tip in one direction or another. They're pretty kind of self-explanatory. And so what I do in the book is I give meditations and action steps, some questions, journaling for each one. And it's not like astrology or Enneagram in the sense that you're one type. Like, yeah, we all have dominant types, maybe a couple dominant ones and a couple of weak ones. But the point really is to develop all of them so we can have balance. And the analogy I really like to use for it is when light passes through a prism. You know, white light passes through a prism and it breaks out into, refracts into seven main colors of the rainbow, right? So that's how I kind of see the seven energies in that same way. And then you can mix and match them all. You could be using two or three or four at one time and they blend and can make something different. But essentially, kind of the light of our awareness passes through our physical form, our mind, our body, our emotions, our speech, right? Our creativity, our hands, however it comes through us, our dance moves, especially your dance moves.
But yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Got to go to a dance party with Cody, watch his inner artist just break out. So, and then those colors take shape, right? Those forms take shape in the world. So that's essentially the premise of the book. And I mean, I use this kind of framework for myself all the time. When I do some introspection, I'm like, okay, I'm focusing so much on my creator energy working. I'm not focusing enough on my lover energy in my relationship space or my artist energy on my hobbies, right? Or I haven't traveled in a while because of COVID and my explorer is kind of a little dormant. He needs some nurturing. So I'm hoping that this book and these concepts, which by no means are new, I didn't make these words up. You've heard them all before. I just kind of frame them in a way that works for me and hopefully my students. And I create meditations. I actually have a free 21-day meditation series to go along with the book to help people. Yeah. To use them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. I like that framework. And I like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with astrology or the Enneagram or anything like that. But one of the things that when you follow a system where you're just a type, I think it kind of closes things down a little bit versus a system where you can grow into all of the different aspects of yourself and expand beyond, say, where you start and grow. And it sounds like you have a lot of exercises to help people take those steps and grow.
Yeah.
Through the book and the program.
Also, you love food, right? So one of your, you love to cook.
Right.
Cody is a good chef. If you ever go stay on his wine vineyard estate in Oregon with the gold in the basement,
it's not in the vault.
It's a massive estate. It must be thousands of acres. And we'll agree to disagree. No one will ever know the truth. So, but he loves to cook and chef it up. So I would consider that kind of an artist energy and also maybe a lover energy when you go to like share the food, right?
Right.
And I've got to experience your cooking and it's fantastic. So the way I see the energies is also like a recipe. So for me, happiness is a byproduct of balance. And if we focus too much in one area of life and drop the other areas, we lose balance. And then we tend to not be fulfilled and happy. So it's not about being perfect in any one area. It's almost like the right recipe. Like when you're making a good meal, you need enough lover, enough artist, enough exploration, a knife. Yeah. And then you get this right mix. You know, there's also, I don't know why this comes to mind, but if you ever, you're some of our favorite TV shows, like people love Friends or Seinfeld. I love Star Trek, The Next Generation with Captain Picard. There's always like just the right mix of characters. And there's like, it's like this recipe in all areas of life. We can look at it like in relationships, there needs to be a mix of energies, the right balance, right synergies. So the same goes for the seven energies inside of ourselves. And when we find that recipe, there's just something kind of that emerges, that flowers out of it. Like, oh, there's a balanced person who's integrated and can access every part of themselves.
Yeah. I like something you just said that I hadn't thought of in this particular way. So I like to cook, and I always have thought of that as maybe a little bit of a passion and just kind of enjoying it's something I can enjoy. And it's actually relaxing to me. So, you know, if I'm working and stressed and have a lot going on, to actually go cook can be relaxing. But I never would have framed it or thought of it as like the artist and the lover aspects of myself. So it sounds like through this book and looking at it that way, you might discover certain things that you do might reveal an aspect of yourself, or you might be able to look at yourself in a little different way and maybe cultivate that a little bit more. So through cooking, that thought of being an artist, you know, that as an artist or expression of that part of myself, or as a lover in sharing that food with others, like the building of community or a sharing of self. I'd never thought of it that way, but thinking of it like that now, and I think of cooking, it just brings a whole different energy to it. It's kind of fun.
It could also be a healing, energy, vibration. People heal cancer through food, right?
Right.
Through nutrition, they make all sorts of changes that affect their mental and emotional well-being. So it could be artist energy, lover energy, healer energy, all three together.
Right. So you have to discover that
for
yourself. Yeah, that's awesome.
And also there's something in it that's fulfilling you, right? So you may, and everyone listening, you ask yourself, what is it in this act, in this movement, in this energy that fulfills me? Is it people loving the food and me feeling a connection with them, right? Is it the actual artistry of cooking it and putting it together? Is it the healing I see that happens? So you start to look at that a little bit more deeply and you realize why you're doing it and what you're getting out of it and what you're sharing with the world. I was teaching a group coaching class recently on the master energy. And we were talking about some of the great masters, you know, Jesus and Buddha and Eckhart Tolle, Lao Tzu, and all of these different masters, and how they were all unique, but all shared this vibration of being a mentor, a guide, a teacher, a light for other people, and in a very healthy way. So an unhealthy master may be a master who's in excess, is teaching all the time. So I went to a party once. It was just like a gathering at someone's house, and I saw someone I hadn't seen in years. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And that person for about 15 minutes just lectured me about the universe without checking in to seeing if I wanted that or was interested. And by the end of the conversation, they were like, "All right, see you later." And I was like, "I'm doing good too."
Right.
It was just like this, you know, coming at me with, this is the world, the way the world is and works and what it should be. And so very excessive master. And then a lot of my students were working on the deficiency, where like they are scared to shine their light in the world and be a teacher, guide, healer, whatever it is. So all of these energies are trying to emerge in a healthy way. And maybe our job is to like midwife them and birth them into the world and recognize how sacred they all actually are. Like making money, building a business, having a safe home space, you know, in that creator energy, that's very sacred. It doesn't have to be icky when you look at it from that perspective. And just listening to this, you probably all are thinking of 1, 2, or 10 things in your life. You're like, oh, that could use more balance, more attention, maybe even more mastery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like if you or as you're talking, and I'm kind of thinking about different things in my life, things that I do, by kind of recognizing and accentuating some of the energies that are within that, within me, that kind of come out, and bringing those a little bit more to the forefront in the doing. It seems like some of the resistance or drudgery or effort could fall away in some of the things that we have to do if we recognize that there's this other energy that could be being cultivated in ourselves. And we certainly then can perhaps have more energy to put into the things we really want to do if we create, find that right balance, you know, and don't, like, where the things we have to do don't become as much of a drain on our energy. I think things tend to be a bigger drain on our energy when we have a resistance or an imbalance just built in
to
the act, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we leak energy or we spin out on something. And so it's like we spend 80 or 90% of our day worrying about money, for example, or work, and we can't, like, shift out of the creator. And then we get home and we're the creator with our partner instead of the lover. We're the creator in our dreams instead of the master or the explorer, right? And it's like we can't shift out of a certain point of view or paradigm. And I think a really healthy way to approach life is to be able to continuously shift. You know, me and you interviewed our friend Dan Loney once, a really great therapist.
Right.
And we talked about schemas, which are, you know, I think there are like 22 different like filters that we see the world through. And it's similar in that regard, the seven energies. And I asked him, well, what does it look like when someone's really healthy? What does it mean to get beyond some pathology or mental health issue and actually be like above and beyond, like be super healthy? And he said, well, that would be somebody who's very integrated. They've integrated every aspect of themselves into one being. And that's how I see the seven energies too, is healing, integrating, creating with all kind of every cylinder firing, let's say. And the hard part can be like the world only seems like it wants one or two things out of you. Like, you're really hot. Just stand there, Cody, and be your sexy self. We don't want to hear the other parts of you, right? That a lot of like celebrities will get pigeonholed into something, right? And then it creates a depression in them. Like, I don't want to just be this actor anymore, this singer, or known for this one thing. I have all these other parts of me. And now the world loves that one part. They don't want to accept or hear about all the others. And that could be really, really frustrating. This is like a way to free up all of these energies and let them really come through you. Why not wake up as a lover and then go to work as a healer and then, you know, come home and play as an artist? All of the above. It's like an inner renaissance, right? Mm-hmm. So the world was in the dark ages. We had the plague, you know, super dark ages with the Catholic Church running Europe. And then all of a sudden, the Renaissance started to happen. People were exploring art, music, and science. And all of a sudden, it shifted the whole world. And I feel like that's what this is, but on the, you know, I'm really on the internal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking for quite some time that we're kind of in the middle of a spiritual renaissance these days, given just the explosion of bringing not only spirituality, but the idea that you can have your own answers and discover from within and bring out from within new energies and information. And this speaks right to that. The thing that keeps coming back to me is not just having these tools, but discovering this about yourself. Like, you may not know what the artist in you looks like, or the lover in you looks like, even, or like that has to be validated or kind of spoken to in such a way that you go, oh yeah, I do have that energy and I can use it here or there, or it is repressed in this activity where it really should be freely kind of given to this activity.
And it's unlikely anyone's going to externally validate it for you until you internally validate it. So if you've always been the healer of the family and you always just play that role, when you come out as an artist, people would be like, nah, I don't see you as an artist. I see you as a healer, because that's the way I've always seen you. So we have to work through those energies, validate ourselves, And then maybe the world comes around. Maybe it doesn't. Might take some time. Yeah. You know,
my grandpa. Often it will resist a little bit because if you've always been the healer and you're going to shift your energy into being the artist, what happens if you stop being the healer? And that can be said for any of the different energies, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just visiting my grandparents in Florida, and my grandfather introduced me to someone. He said, "This is my grandson, David. He's a medication teacher." And I said, "Grandpa, look, they put me on the front of this app." I was showing him Insight Timer. I was like, "Look, all these people see your grandson." And he goes, "That's very nice. But if you wrote a hit song, it would be a lot more people." And I was like, "What the heck does that have to do? Okay, I'm not a musician. All right."
You're like, "I'm not a musician or a singer." You're a writer, though, so you just write the song.
Yeah, I mean, I play a little guitar, you know, sing
you piano, do, actually. But like
very, very amateur. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. I was like, okay, this is not where I'm going to get my validation, nor should I look for it. And just let that go. Right. And it was all good, you know. So that's the premise of the book. It's not rocket science. I think it just helps maybe kind of ground us into some perspective and gives us a framework to validate who we really are and some tools to be able to develop each area of our lives. I cannot tell you how many people I've met, for example, one person who's so smart intellectually and so out of touch with their lover, right? Or their healer, or somebody who's so living in their emotional body, they like 95% healer all the time in an unhealthy way, and they can't create any money or a relationship, you know, or finish writing a book or whatever it is. And so we all have these imbalances, and I'm hoping this helps bring everyone back to balance. So if you get a chance, check out the book or check out the meditations.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think something that's interesting to me these days, because it's a book, but you've also been recording the audiobook, right? Like for the release, which is just kind of amazing how much these days we can access, you know, books that we can read it or we can listen to it. Like it's all right there. And I haven't gotten an advanced copy, which I will say, you know, I'll just say that again. But it is in pre-sales, right? You can find it on Amazon or wherever you find your books or
and
audiobooks, I guess. Yeah.
If you go to my website, meditationschool.us, there you can get a couple of free chapters too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. It's amazing how long it takes to write, edit, put together a book, and then get it out in the world and market it. It is an incredible force of energy that involves so many people. I've learned a lot in the process, and I've been humbled by it for sure.
Well, luckily you picked a topic that's probably mostly timeless, the inner energies and spirituality of the soul, right? Like, I can't imagine people that write a book that's kind of has to be timely. And if they miss the timing, it would be a little rough.
Afghanistan, 2015 to 2020, right. The history of. Before we finish this episode, I also want to mention that me, Cody, and the Energy Matters Academy team of teachers are starting a new intuitive training. We do it once a year or less, and it's coming around this March. So if you want to do solid intuitive training, really learn some energy tools and take your spiritual development to the next level, we'll drop the link in the description. So that's going to be a fun one. Yeah.
We'll probably pair well with the book. We could do a little
it's like wine training.
Exactly. A little pairing.
Fish. Yeah, that's right. And Cody will invite the whole class to his house for some good food, right?
We'll have sit on the floor, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for letting me chat about the book. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. And I dropped an acknowledgement for you at the end. So I didn't tell you that before. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I did. You don't get a copy. You have to buy one, but you're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what you've been waiting for me to buy my copy.
Basically, for those of you who are interested in writing a book at some point, pre-sales are really important because it kind of tells Amazon, all right, this book has traction and people are interested in it. And then it kind of pops it up so that people can see it. And that's why you'll see a lot of authors kind of do the podcasting rounds and really do heavy promotion kind of before the book comes out to get people to get it. So Amazon's like, oh, okay. So yeah. someone likes you.
Right. In fact, our episode two episodes back, was it Coot? They were trying to get on the show like before his book came out. It worked out that it was kind of right as, but
Coot Blackson, that was like a
big push. Yeah.
The transformational coach teacher. Yeah, that's right. I am going to really attempt to not be one of those authors that is like a wind-up toy that goes on like 50 podcasts and just says the same thing every time with like the same quotes and one-liners.
I will tell you if I see you doing that, just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, not good. Well,
it's good to be back here with you, Cody. And thank you all for listening on this one. And I hope that you go develop every part of your soul, share it with the world as you master each part of who you are. Thanks for listening to Energy Matters. We love you. And we will see you in the next episode. We're going to put out a whole bunch. So see you soon.
Yeah, we have some on the way. And thank you, David, for sharing this and writing the book. I mean, I've watched you go through it, and it is certainly does not look easy. So let's say that. It's not for the faint of heart, let's say.
I'm really good at making things that aren't easy way harder than they need to be. So I'll take an award for that.
Well, yeah, I can do that too.
Thanks, everyone. All right. See you next time.
Thank you, everyone. See you soon.